You shall be made sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. One day, a pious woman went to St. Francis de Sales and told him that she had suffered so much and underwent so much trials and crosses that she was almost losing courage and was very miserable. "I was once rich," she said, "but I lost all that I possessed. Moreover, I'm suffering from a severe illness, and I have no one to feel pity on me or to say a kind word to me." And the saint answered, "Your condition, my child, is one not to be pitied, but rather to be envied. You are in this world the spouse of our Lord Jesus Christ, the crucified, and you know that those who are honored in this way on earth are chosen to be the eternal spouse of our Lord, glorified in heaven." "Oh, my father," she replied, "your words console me. But when shall that happy day come? When shall I hear his beloved voice calling me to enter his kingdom above?" The desire of heaven and the remembrance of the reward to be given us there make the short hours of pain in this world pass quickly. Sufferings, crosses, tribulations, problems are, as our Lord foretold his disciples in the Gospel of the third Sunday after Easter of today, the portion and the common inheritance of a Christian. But what is it that consoles them and encourages them in the midst of all these sufferings, crosses, and persecutions, so that the martyrs could stand and the saints could stand the hardest trials without a murmur escaping their lips? What indeed then the second theological virtue, hope? For it is this that assures them and us of the pleasure of God and puts the most glorious reward before our eyes. We know that we follow our divine Lord on the way of the cross. Hope is a virtue infused by God into our souls at the same time when faith and charity is infused at the day of our baptism, by which we expect with firm confidence all that God has promised us on account of the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hope is a virtue, a certain quality or faculty which inclines, which causes, which pushes us to do what is good. Hope being called a virtue, we must consider it as a power abiding in our soul, which enables us in all circumstances of life to speak and act as hope requires from us. Hope is a virtue, as I said, infused by God at the day of our baptism. With faith and charity, hope is infused in our souls at that happy day of our baptism. The apostle says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has regenerated us into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Hope consists in an expectation. Hope looks more into the future than into the present. We expect all that God has promised. The expression "to expect something" is used to indicate that the good we hope for us is to come, lies in the future. For what we already possess, we do not expect. The words "to expect" gives us to understand that we can obtain the good we hope for. For we expect only what we truly can, what we are able to obtain. The damned in hell no longer expect heaven, because it is impossible that they can ever enter heaven, and they know this, hence they are in an uninterrupted despair. Hope is an expectation joined with a firm confidence. And if confidence should be lacking to hope, it would be not be hope, but only a wish. Thus a poor man may wish to become rich without being able to hope for it, because he has no prospect of them. But the firm confidence with which hope must be connected has not its foundation in us at all, nor in any other creatures, but in the promises of Almighty God and in the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we Catholics, we traditional Catholics who resisted the changes of Vatican II, we truly need this hope. Because there is so much talk on the pulpit sometimes of hell, damnation, and all these truths which are really true. But there is not so much talk about the positive points of our faith. We need this hope. Hope finally consists in this, that we expect all that God has promised us. As we must believe, as I said a few weeks ago, all that God has revealed to us, so we must also hope for all that he has promised us. He that believes all but one of the truth which God has revealed has, properly speaking, no supernatural faith at all. And this is extremely important to understand in this time of heresy. If there is somebody who exempts one article of faith, he has no faith at all. For if God could err or deceive in only one point, it would be impossible also in all others. And the same must be said of hope. If we were to question or doubt a single promise of God, we should be obliged to forfeit the entire inheritance of hope, because all the promises which God has made rest upon the same foundation, namely His omnipotence, His great goodness, and particularly His faithfulness, His fidelity. And the foundation of our hope, of the second theological virtue, is found on the promises of God. All that God has promised, we may and must hope for, because He's Almighty. If man promise us anything, we may entertain some doubts as to whether or not they will fulfill their promise. For someday they may be in such a position that even with the best will, it will be, or it would be impossible for them to give us what they have promised. It is not so with Almighty God, because He is omnipotent. But God is also infinitely good. And we must stress that in our own spiritual life, God is good because we always overemphasize His justice and sometimes we forget His mercy. The Lord is gracious and merciful, patient and plenteous in mercy. And striking evidences of the goodness of God are the countless benefits which daily flow to us from His good hands. And thirdly, and most important, God is infinitely faithful to us. We should always remember, God is not a man that He should lie to us, or as the Son of Man that He should be changed. And you certainly had that experience in your own life, that somebody just deceived you, or lied at you, or changed. God is different. God assuredly keeps His words, and even the unbelief, the ingratitude of man are not able to make Him unfaithful to His promises, because He is unchangeable. God is unchangeable. There is no change in Him. On account of the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ, we hope on all the promises of our Lord. In particular, that He will take us one time, if we do our part, if we are faithful to Almighty God, to heaven. But the merits of our Lord are, as it were, the pledges of the divine promises and the means of their fulfillment. How can we doubt that He is sincere in His promises, when He has given His only begotten Son to us? We are sinners, it is true, and have deserved eternal damnation many, many times in our lives. Neither have we wherewith we could satisfy the divine justice for our sins on our own. Reconcile ourselves with Him and merit heaven for ourselves. But Christ has atoned for us, has reconciled us with the Father. He has redeemed us, reconciled with God, and reinstated us in the happy state of the children of God. He is our high priest, our mediator, who most tenderly interests himself for us and continually offers to his heavenly Father the infinite treasures of his merits for the satisfaction of our sins. And how can we waver in our hope, since we have such a mediator and intercessor with the Father? But the first and principal object of our hope, what we hope the most, is our eternal salvation, it being the will of God that we be saved, that you and I be saved. And He gives us all and everything that is necessary to save our souls even today, even in the midst of the greatest apostasy in the history of the Church. By the movement of the Holy Ghost, He caused that in the entire world there will be Catholics who will reject and did reject the changes of Vatican II. In the entire world, there are still true priests which are administered to the faithful the sacraments. So God in His goodness despise the evilness of man who intended to destroy the Church. He still provides for His faithful the true sacraments, and by this the continual flowing of sanctifying grace, even today. He forgives us our sins. Even today, you still can go and kneel down for a valid ordained priest, and he, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, will and is able to give you absolution of your sins. And by this, grace is bestowed upon our souls, and we are able to do what is good. There is no deficiency whatsoever on the part of God that He would not fulfill His promises. But the question is, when we talk about hope, the real question is there deficiency on our part? Let us be faithful. Let us serve God with favor and constancy as long as we live, and we will be assured of obtaining that for which we hoped so much in this life, namely life everlasting. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.